2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're there, say there.
There.
Awesome. Verse 5. Here we go. We're going to read through verse 12. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For the lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his splendor of his coming. Verse 9. This man will come to do the work of Satan with the counterfeit power and signs and miraculous. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Verse 12. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Here's Paul. This is the first church he's writing to, and this is his second letter he's writing to. And he's saying to them, remember what I told you before. See, everything Paul wrote and he spoke, we don't have. We only have bits and parts of it. The stuff that God wanted us to have. And so he kicks it off. He goes, don't you remember when I was still with you? And so in other words, when he was with them, he told them things about what was going to take place. And now we only know a little bit about what he talks about. And like I said last week, if someone can tell you how everything's going to shake out in the next 10 years, they're way off. Because can you imagine what 10 years ago you would be where you're at today? In society, with everything going on, it's just been, no one could have predicted it. But God already knew. See, verse 6, he continues and he goes, and you know what is holding him back. Holding who back? What's holding them back? Well, Paul continued to write, he goes, for he cannot be revealed, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. Who's he? Who's he talking about here? Most scholars believe it's the Antichrist or Satan coming on the scene or the one who's going to be sitting in the throne room for 7 years. There's something holding him back. And there's a lot of people out there who will say, well, it's the church. The church is holding him back. When the church is gone, then he'll be revealed. Some people will say, it's the Holy Spirit who's holding him back. And the thing about it, once the Holy Spirit is no longer holding him back, he'll be revealed. See, somehow, so many times, we focus on the things that we have no control over, rather than focusing on things that we can't control over. See, Satan wants us to focus on who's holding him back. Does it matter if it's the church or the Holy Spirit or something else? All we know, he's going to be revealed according to God's word and God's timing. Think about that. Everything is not based on Satan's timing of the end times. So many times we focus on him. Well, when he's going to do this, when he's going to do that. Actually, end times is focusing on God and his timing. When he's going to pull back the heavens and pour out his bold judgments and stuff like that. It's up to him. See, the thing about it, his wrath is not for believers. What's for his believers? Guess what? As a believer, his wrath was taken on the cross for us. That's part of the reason why God turned his back on Jesus at that time, the Father. And he goes, you know something you have? The wrath is poured out then. So we as believers don't have to walk in the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not for the church. The wrath of God is for those who have turned their back on God. For those who have enjoyed evil more than the truth. See, the wrath of God is not for you, Mary. For anybody in here. Unless you chose not to follow God. See, as a believer, we have a tendency, I believe, at times of focusing on the things that the devil can do to us. But guess what? He can't do anything outside of what God's called, allowed him to do. It's all God's timing. You have authority over all this wickedness in Christ Jesus. When that lie comes saying you're not good enough, God won't accept this offering. God won't accept this. Guess what? Those are lies from the pit of hell. See, here Paul's writing. He goes, remember I told you about these things. And you already know what's holding him back. And to be honest with you, does it really matter? Does it really matter what's holding Satan back for his full destruction? It doesn't really matter. What matters is what we're doing in the time while he's held back. What are we doing why it's still daylight? Why we still have an opportunity to minister to people? Why we still have a heartbeat? That's what matters. What matters is what can we do to impact the kingdom of God in this world? What can we do to impact Dodge Center? I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. What can we do to impact this city? To change it from being so religious to be on fire for God? What can we do to impact this county, Dodge County? What can we do? And the greatest thing to do is that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting in the spiritual realm. The greatest thing you can do is pray. Oh, is that all? No, that's the greatest thing you can do. Then from when you're sitting at Jesus' feet and being there, what are we going to do from there? That's your assignment. We all have different assignments. My assignment looks different than yours. But we have the same teacher. Have any of you been a manager of a store or a manager, oversaw people? Like maybe different things like that. When I was younger, I was an assistant manager of Arby's fast food restaurant. And I had, when I was on the clock and stuff, I'd have probably about 8 to 10 people working at the time when it was busier. And then when it was a little bit slower, it got down to like 4. And there was people, and I worked with a lot of teenagers then. And a lot of times what they do, that you give them an assignment or a task to do. And then you give somebody else a task to do. And then somebody else a task. Because there's things that need to be done before you close up shop. Or when you open it up. And so you give these people tasks to get that task, the big task, done, right? But what would happen is that this person over here, let's call him Johnny. And this person over here called Billy. They're not doing their tasks. They're looking at each other and saying, why aren't they doing what they're supposed to be doing? See, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it doesn't matter what Johnny or Billy or Sally or Susie or whoever is doing. When we stay in our lane and focus on what God's called us to do, it doesn't really matter what the church down the street's doing. What matters are we doing what God's called us to do. See, When you start hearing, well, they're not. I really don't care what they're not. What are you supposed to be doing? What is my assignment? See, that's what this boils down to. It's not about, wow, when is this going to happen? When that's, see, the whole end times thing, we can get caught up with all the signs and wonders, like earthquakes that are just rocking the world right now, volcanoes that are just going off right now, AI that's just destroying jobs and stuff like that. But that's not our assignment. Our assignment is, who needs Jesus, and are we going to give them Jesus? That's our assignment. And when we give them Jesus, guess what? We come with the full Jesus. And what I mean by the full Jesus, this means salvation, emotional healing, physical healing, sanctification, deliverance, the full gamut of Jesus. The blessings of Jesus. We come with everything of Jesus. Not just, well, you know, he's a savior. Well, he's more than just, I mean, he's the Redeemer. He's the baptizer in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer of fire. Give him all Jesus. Don't be Luke, like, saying, well, you know, I'm not sure. Who cares if they're ready or not? Say, here we go, let's pray. Because sometimes they're looking for the full power. And people are spiritual. How many people have you known who will say, well, this is what my horoscope says? And they're in the church. They're spiritual. Guess what? The horoscope can't tell you anything about you. Well, you're this. You're a, I don't know the different signs. Okay, I don't know. I could, guess what? I don't believe in that. A lot of people do. They design their life around it, and it's wrong. Our job is to say, hey, I got Jesus who's greater than anything you have. See, the thing about it, we should walk around like Elijah and say, Lord, send fire. Here's my offering. Send fire and burn. And so this is what Paul's talking about. He goes, yeah, we don't know. But for the lawlessness is already at work secretly. What's lawlessness? Going against God's word. Not against rules and regulations of the city and stuff. If they contradict God's word, they're being lawless. I don't care what the law is. If it goes against God's word, where God's word says, do not forsake the assembly of believers, and they're coming out and say, wow, you can't gather. They're being lawless. They're saying they're greater than God's word. No, there's nothing greater than God's word. God himself is held to his word. Now, if it doesn't contradict that, we will try and do our best to honor the laws around us. But lawlessness is basically looking at the law saying, I really don't care about the law. I'm going to do what I want. It's called pride. It's called arrogance. It's called rebellion. Who's that? James Dean? A rebel with a cause? Right? I think there was a movie like that or something. I don't know. Before my time. But the thing about it, what's a rebel? Somebody who's going against what's already been instituted from God. Satan was a great rebel. And guess what? He twisted things. And so the thing about it is that lawlessness is already at work. I mean, you think about it, this has been about 2,000 years ago when he wrote this, a little bit less than that. When he wrote this, he's already seen lawlessness. You know when lawlessness started? Anybody want to take a guess? Yeah, in the Garden of Eden. Lawlessness started there, actually started in heaven when the Satan goes, ah, I'm going to be God. When he goes, I'm going to be worshipped. He still desires to be God. He still desires to be worshipped. But here he is. For the lawlessness is already at work secretly. And it will remain secret until the one who's holding it back steps out of the way. And just think about it. So what does it mean by secretly? Sometimes we don't even know we're going against God until it's pointed out. I was told about 2 months ago, you are being Jonah. I'm like, I'm being Jonah? And I figured out after praying through that, I'm like, oh man, I have the attitude like Jonah. That's not good. You know what happened to Jonah? He got swallowed up by a big fish. Even though I love fishing, I love to catch a big fish. I don't want one that can catch me. I don't want to be the bait. Sorry. That's not the type of fishing I want to do. But even in that time, I did not know until God said, hey, I need to reveal this to you. See, pride, arrogance, and all these things, a lot of times people don't see that in them until the Holy Spirit points it out. Or you have a good enough friend who acts like the Holy Spirit and say, hey, buddy, come here, let me slap you. And that's a good thing. There's a difference between the, I know what God's called me to do, and not in arrogance, but in confidence of this is where God's leading us. Let's go. And being prideful, like, look at me, such as the devil. I want to be promoted. I want, that's pride, all about I. But when it comes to God, when we say, Lord, have your way, and he goes, I'm lifting you up, and I'm putting you forward. I called you to do these things. You can go out confidently and take out the enemy. Pray confidently that I know he hears my word. I know he hears my prayers, and I know he's going to answer me. I know without a shadow of doubt. Not as a pride, but knowing that I serve a God who's greater than anything the enemy says. And I walk with the one who created me, the one who created the world. And wickedness can get out of town. And so, for the lawlessness has already worked secretly, it will remain until it's holding it back. Verse 8, the man of lawlessness, which is a person, the Antichrist, will be revealed. He will be revealed someday. Will the church be here? Will it be gone? Great question. We don't know. I hope so. If I was a betting man, I'd say, okay, Lord, but I don't bet, so we don't have to worry about that. But the thing about it, it shouldn't really matter if we're going to be here or not. What matters? Are we going to serve Jesus still? See, so we get worked up like, oh no, the church is going to be gone. Oh no, the church is going to be here. What matters the most, if he's revealed before the church is gone, revealed after the church is gone, what matters the most, are you going to still serve God? Are you going to serve God no matter what? Are you preparing, like if you're going to last all 7 years, are you preparing like, oh man, if it gets too rough, I want to get out of here. Well, how many thought it would be this bad before you got out of here? I mean, you think about it, there's things. They have a light bulb. Well, Jer and I saw this. They have a light bulb you can screw into your house that people can hack into without being on Wi-Fi. And they can take over all your cameras in your house. A light bulb. Crazy. Yeah, we live in a crazy... Who knew? But God did. But the thing about it, you were designed to carry the good news for a time such as this. Do not grow weary in carrying out what God's called you to do, because he's given you the authority and you're on a mission from God to carry out the things of God. And so the thing about it is this, the man of lawlessness will be revealed. This is cool. But the Lord, hear this, but the Lord. See, when we focus on God, we got victory. But when we focus on all these other things, we feel defeated. It says, but the Lord. This is where my mind went when I started studying it. It says, but the Lord and his breath. I'm like, oh man, did he brush his teeth? I mean, Lord, can you have a mint or two? I understand that's not what it's talking about. But when he speaks, When the Lord speaks, he's defeated. He spoke in the Bible. The lawless one's already defeated. Remember when Jesus was going to get crucified the night before in the book of John? I think in chapter 19. They come to arrest him. They go, and Judas is with them. And they go, these Roman soldiers, these Jewish people, like, they don't know who Jesus is. Hey, where's Jesus? You know, I mean, he's the one that's right here leading these 12, now 11. Like, hello? He's right here. He goes, I am. And what happened to the soldiers and the guards? And look, they fell over because he had authority over them. See, no one can do anything against you. I don't care if there's a witch. I don't care if there's a warlock. They don't have authority over you. Their words are useless and meaningless unless you give it to them. See, they can pray against this church all they want. Guess what? It won't make a hill of beans because I have the word of God that says, get back. And then they ask again and they fall over again. Then Jesus says, all right, you guys know who I am. I'll go with you. See, Jesus says, I gave my life because guess what? No one could take his life. Jesus gave us, just like us. We give our life to Christ. He won't take it from us. He goes, are you willing to lay it all down? And so even back then, Jesus already defeated Satan and his cronies. Then he goes, defeat him by the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his splendor. Think about it. Just him showing up, the dude runs the other way. There was a boxing match about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe seven now, up in Canada. One of the top-ranked Canadian boxers, I believe it was in Canada, never lost a match. And so he needed to box so many times to keep his title belt. And so the thing about it, they found somebody that would be willing to box him for $3 million. Even though he was going to lose. The champion was out there in the ring already. And here comes the challenger. He comes out. He looks at the champion. And he runs the other way. He doesn't even make it to the ring. That is what you do to the devil. You show up with the authority of God. You make the devil run the other way. That's what's happening right here. God shows up. The devil's like, I'm out of here. He drops his shorts and he runs. I mean, he throws off the thing because he already knows he's defeated. Guess what? The devil is always trying to take out God's people. And it's always been that way since the beginning of time. Look at Moses trying to take out Moses, a redeemer, a forerunner of Jesus. Tried to take out Jesus. Remember the wise guys? They come in. They're hanging out in the cave or the house. And they go, hey, we're trying to find where this man named this little boy named Jesus. He's probably about 2 years old about this time. And the wise guys show up and they ask Herod, hey, do you know where the king of Jews was born? He's supposed to have been born in Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, Jerusalem just down the road here. I'm sorry, Bethlehem. Bethlehem just down the road from here, sorry. And so they head down and then Herod goes, hey, tell me on your way out where he's located at, because I'd love to worship him. And that night, the wise guys go, nope, we're not going to go tell him. And so Herod had all the boys, it says two and under, taken out. See, the devil's always trying to take out those who believe in God, those who love God, God's chosen people, God's church. He's trying to take, but guess what? You stand against that and say, you know, I'm going to still go forward and do great and mighty things for God. And then we're getting there. We're in verse 9. We'll get through 12. This man will come and do work of Satan. What man? The Antichrist. Or those who walk in the Antichrist spirit. They will do the work of Satan. Because guess what? There's nothing. Satan cannot create. He always destroys. He always does the negative. He always comes in to divide. And so the thing about it, he comes to counterfeit the power and signs of miraculous. He'll use every kind of evil deception to fool those on a way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. And so God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies, then they will be condemned and enjoy evil. You ever try to witness to somebody and it's not going anywhere? And you're like, man, they're deceived. This is the reason why. They're deceived. Some people are just downright deceived. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe Jesus even came. Even though there's physical evidence outside the Bible, there's more evidence for Jesus doing what he did than anybody else in history. And so the thing about it, they're deceived. Even in Romans chapter 1, it talks about how God allowed them to be handed over to their deception. It's their choice. God just allows it. But how do we know who's deceived and who's not? That's not up to us. It's up to us to continue to love and continue to minister to those that God's placed in our life. Because maybe, just maybe, that deception... In the Bible, it says that the devil blinded them over their eyes so they can't see the truth. Maybe their veil will be pulled back and they'll see the truth. We don't know. But it's up to us to share the truth that Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. And he came through a lady who was a virgin, who didn't know a guy physically. She was a teenager. She gave birth. His name was Jesus. He was a little cute little baby. Reminded me of me when I was young. I was cute. And so the thing about it, he didn't stay as a baby. He grew to be the man of Jesus, who lived a sinless life, who did nothing wrong. And then at about his 33rd year of life, he chose to give up his life in a horrific death on the cross for you to take away the sins of this world. See, he took the wrath and the sins of this world already. It's up to us now to receive that gift of Easter at Christmas time. And then he's died. He was poked in the side. Blood and water came out. There was no heartbeat. He was gone. He was dead. They put him in a new tomb and they sealed it. They came back 3 days later. The tomb was opened up. The stone was rolled away. And victory was ours to stay. Because what Jesus did, he rose from the dead. He conquered death and hell. And we get to share that at this time of the year. Go tell it on the mountain. It's our job to share the good news of who Jesus is in our life. Guess what? Some people won't respond. Some people will, they'll all respond. Some will say, okay, I heard that enough. Get away. I know that. But what does it say here? Paul, he was writing, he goes, they will be condemned because they enjoyed evil. Some people just enjoy sin more than they would love to be free from sin. Some people will say, you know something? If I get healed, I won't be able to receive my checks anymore. I mean, I have to go work. Or if I get set free from this issue, that will no longer be my identity. I like my identity with all my issues. People, they identify, well, I got this problem, and that problem, and that problem. Well, you ever In phones, you ever have somebody in your phone, maybe not by their name, but maybe by their name and by how you identify them with? You could say, all right, Pastor Roy, the loud preacher. The loud preacher. Identify. We put a label on. Just like blind Bartimaeus, he goes, they labeled him blind Bartimaeus, but eventually he stopped being blind, but yet we still refer to him that way. He's no longer blind. See, the thing about it, people don't want to be separated because they'll have to identify in Christ more than their issues. And they love their sin so much. They're like, you know something, Jesus? I know you're real. I love you. And I know you love me. But they're not willing to serve Jesus. We have a lot of people who say, well, Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. That's good. Jesus loves everyone. But Jesus' love, they have to accept beyond, because they love their wickedness more than they love Jesus. They love their sin. So the thing about this week, as crazy as it can be, as the holiday season's upon us, and some of you still need to go shopping and wrapping gifts and getting ready for family gatherings and all these things, ask Jesus this week, as we pray tonight, or this morning, ask Jesus to bring somebody in your life that you can share the good news with this week. Let that be your goal this Christmas season. This next, before now until the end of this year, let our goal, I'm not even saying win somebody to Jesus. I'm just saying give yourself an opportunity to share the hope of Jesus. And maybe you're like, will you come to church with me? Maybe that's it. Or can I pray for you? Share the little hope of Jesus. Let that be our prayer this week. As we pray. As we worship. Go tell it on the mountain. It's probably one of my favorite Christmas songs. Because what we have, we take out and give to others. Just like Jesus, the shepherds. They went out, after they came in, worshiped Jesus, they went out and told everyone, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. And Lord, now,